you get there, sometimes that's probably one of my favorite scriptures, that sometimes I just got to say, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Because sometime, somewhere, through what we call life, everything comes at us. And we can definitely lose our joy pretty quick. We can get frustrated, and we can lose our joy pretty quick. So sometimes we have to go back to that scripture and use it, and tell the devil to get away from us. He has no place in our life. He has no place to bother us, but he sure will try. Just like pants getting ripped, or just like the medicine with Brode, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, the devil will find the things. I promise you, he will find the things in your life, and he will find your triggers, and he will push your buttons, and he will try to take your joy. Because there is nothing more that he would rather do than to steal your joy, to steal your happiness, to ruin your salvation, to make you walk away from Jesus. That's what the devil's job is. So you know what? The way we defeat that is feed him scripture. He hates it. He'll run from it. Memorize it. Michael's said it time after time again. Let's get the memory verses going. I'm terrible at it. I'll just tell you guys that right now. I can't remember anything. But remember scriptures and find those ones like that and kind of memorize those, because they'll help you along the way. That's not what I'm going to preach about tonight. So, but that's where my heart was at. I've never preached this, so we're just going to see how it goes. I want to preach about the birth of Moses tonight in Exodus chapter 2. It says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi, and he took to a wife, a daughter, and he took to a wife of a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and she dabbed it with slime and pitch, and she put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off, to wit what would be done with him." She wanted to see what would be done with him. "And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent them to fetch it. And when she opened it, she saw a child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call thee a nurse for the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go,' and go, and the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take the child away, nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages.' And the woman took the child, and she nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" Our most kind, gracious Heavenly Father, God, we love you tonight, Lord. We thank you for what you've given us, Lord. We, Father, ask tonight, Lord, that you would just touch us, Lord. Father, just anoint us, dear Father, that we might be able, Lord, to preach your word tonight, Lord. Father, we're just so glad for already being here tonight and what we've already heard, God. Just help us, dear Lord. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So we think about this, and so we think about Moses. Most of us, when we talk about Moses, or we think about Moses, we think about the old guy that found the burning bush. We think about the guy that led the children of Israel out of bondage. We think about Moses that smoked a rock. We think about the older Moses, because that's the most popular thing. But we teach our kids about the baby Moses. We teach our kids about this story. But sometimes as we grow up, we kind of forget about this story. But you know, the story is really important, because this story is really about faith. This story is really about a mother, and we've talked to a couple moms that have testified here tonight. This story is really about a mother who had so much faith in God that she was able to do exactly what God wanted, even though it probably wasn't exactly what her heart wanted. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but she probably created the most known three kids in the Old Testament. Basically, she was the mother of Moses, but we know that Moses' older brother was Aaron, and we know Aaron's older sister was in on this too. And so that those three kids was probably they led the children of Israel out of bondage. So when we think about this, we got to think about what was going on there. So it said in chapter 1, it said, a man of the house of Levi took a wife of the daughter of Levi. So they're from the same tribe. The man of Levi, the daughter of Levi are from the same tribe. And it says, it's one thing I want to kind of point out. It says that he took a wife. You know, I like that right there. It didn't say he took a girlfriend. It didn't say he took a lady down the street. It said he took a wife. I'm old school when it comes to that. I believe that marriage is a something that should be done. I know there's a lot of churches and a lot of preachers that say it's okay if you live with somebody. I'll never say that because I believe it's wrong. I'll just leave it right there. I believe when the scripture says he took a wife, I think that's how it should be. You know, I think there's little things in the Bible that we pick out and we find. It says that he took a wife. And so it says that he took a wife. I want to talk a minute about the Levites. So the Levites were a tribe of Israel. So a son of Israel was Levi and the tribe of Israel. So the Levites were special to God because they took care of the temple. They took care of the tabernacle. They took care of the Holy of Holies. They carried things around. They took care of God's, basically before it was a church, they took care of God's people. So they were special. So it's no doubt why that Moses would be born by the Levites. So it says, so the woman conceived and bore a son. You know, Moses opened his eyes in a really bad time, though. So it talks about she bore a son. But if we think about this time, so Israel was in bondage. They were in captive. So they were living in Egypt. This was after Joseph. So Joseph had already passed. So this is far after that. Pharaoh, that was Joseph and Pharaoh become sort of friends, and Joseph, even though he's a Hebrew, he was able to work himself up in Egypt, and they were kind of free. They did a lot of good things, but this was later in life. Joseph is gone, Pharaoh is gone, and the Bible says that there's a new Pharaoh. So if you read chapter 1, we're not going to go back and read it all, but the new Pharaoh came. And as he was already, now he was leading Egypt, and he said, we got all of these Israelites all in our land, and we know they're everywhere, and I'm starting to get concerned about them. I'm starting to get worried about them because they're growing great in number. They're getting to be more and more and more of these the Jews as they're out there in our land. I'm afraid that when somebody else attacks us, that they will join that war, that army, and they'll overcome us. So Pharaoh starts worrying about the Hebrew nation that's in bondage in Egypt. So what he decides to do is he's going to take them slave. So they kind of had some freedom when Joseph was alive. After this, after the new Pharaoh, they become slaves. And they had to make brick out of mud. They had to build buildings. They had to do things that they labored them. So what Pharaoh said was, I want you to go out. And he sent basically masters over the slaves. He said, I want you to go out and I want you to work these guys until they can't work no more. I want you to make them work so hard that they can't do anything else. So they went out and they tried this. Well, it didn't work. They were still multiplying because God was blessing them. They were multiplying and multiplying. So Pharaoh's next thing said, well, I want to talk to the Jewish midwife. So he pulled in the Hebrew midwives. And he said to them, now get this. This is way back then. He said to them, I want you to, when a Hebrew woman goes into labor, I want you to go to her And if she has a baby boy, I want you to kill it.
Sounds a lot like today, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I want you to kill it. So here's how Pharaoh's mind's working. I want you to murder every little boy baby. Well, the midwives were godly. You got to remember, the Hebrews followed God. The Jewish nation followed God at this time. They were godly. And the midwives said, we're not going to. They didn't tell him, but they said to themselves, we're not going to do that. We're not going to kill them. So then later on, they just keep multiplying. Pharaoh pulls the midwives back in. And he said, why did you not do these things I asked you to do? Well, they kind of stretched the truth maybe a little bit. Maybe not. But they said, here was their answer. They said, Pharaoh, they said, the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. So when they go into labor, they're in such good shape, they have the baby so fast by the time we get there, it's over. Whether that's true or not, we don't know. But that's what they told. God blessed them. God said he'd give them houses. God gave his midwives houses, give them families. He blessed them for that. So Pharaoh said, well, if that ain't going to work, here's what we're going to do. Any little baby boy that's born in Egypt, Hebrew, throw him in the river. That's it. Throw him in the river. Again, when I was reading this, I was thinking, man, our nation, I just can't see. There's so much right now in our nation that's just the same, where people have no love of babies and no love of life, and they don't care to abort them, and they don't care. And I don't want to get on a soapbox, but it just really bothers me that someone could do this. But this is what Pharaoh said. Just throw them in the river. I don't want them anymore. Well, so that kind of gives us the kind of outlier of where these people, the mother and father of Moses were. Moses was born at a horrible time. He was born in a time where he should have been killed, but he wasn't. So the woman conceived and she bore a son. But mama had some faith. It said, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, that means beautiful. She saw him that he was a goodly child, and she hid him for 3 months. You know, so I told you before that the mother and dad were Levites. They were godly people. You know, I think they already knew what was about to happen. I think they'd already been talking to the Lord. I think the Lord had already been talking to them. I think they knew that this was going to be a special child. But when she had him and she looked upon him, she seen that he was a goodly child. She seen that he was beautiful. And as soon as she seen that, I believe she knew that this baby had a future. There was something that he was going to do. So she said, there is no way that I'm going to cast him. There is no way I'm going to throw him into that river. Matter of fact, Hebrews 11:23 says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They weren't afraid because they knew that God had control. Sometimes we got to think about that tonight. Sometimes this world gets us and things go wrong. We think about our kids and how sometimes they're a handful. But let me tell you what tonight, God's got something special in store for these babies. God's got something special in store for all of them. And I believe that tonight. I believe if you take these kids, and I believe if you teach them the godly way, I believe if you teach them the Bible. You know, they might steer a little right, they might steer a little left. But the Bible says if you bring them up in the way it's right, that they won't depart from it, Brother Preston. That they will come back to it. And I believe today, more than any time in the world, that we need godly parents today. Amen. We gotta have godly parents today. Amen. So Nicole and Nikki and Kayla is like, why? You're preaching it. I'm not preaching it, you guys. I'm preaching it to everybody. We need godly parents today. I'm a parent of adults, and I godly give them all kinds of teachings every day. I tell them what I think when it comes to the Bible. Godly parents doesn't get too old to be godly parents. So these are godly parents, and they knew Moses was special. They knew today that he was going to be something special. So they hid him for 3 months. So the time come, there was time. She said she couldn't hide him anymore. So, but I believe the whole time that she had him for 3 months, I believe that she was praying and she knew what God wanted her to do. So the Bible says she went out and she built an ark. So she took the bulrushes, which seems to me like it's probably vines or maybe some twigs or something. And I could see her probably trying to sew a little basket together. And she said she took some pitch and she put on it and some stuff and put on it to try to harden it up and make it to where her baby would be safe in it. Now just think about the faith that she had to have to take her baby. And she's going to do exactly what Pharaoh said. She's going to cast him in the water. She was going to do what Pharaoh said, but she was going to do it God's way. Yeah. So she took it and she built him an ark. You know, when I started thinking about that, you know, I'm sure she probably heard about Noah. I'm sure she probably knew about her ancestor Noah. And I think about that, and God was probably talking to her. And I think about old Noah as he began to build an ark. And I think about all those people that probably teased him. Because you know, when Noah built an ark, there was no rain before. They never rained before. But God told Noah, it's going to rain on the earth. And I bet Noah was scratching his head and said, Lord, I don't know what rain is, but I'm going to build an ark because I know who you are. You know, I can see it. The people probably in town was probably walking down to him and saying, Noah, what in the world are you doing building that big old boat? And he probably turned around and looked at him. He probably said, it's going to rain. And they probably said, we ain't never heard of rain. It's never rained before. But I'll tell you what, tonight, he had the faith to do exactly what God asked him to do. And God said, Noah, build an ark. And old Noah began to build an ark today. And I believe that's what she was doing. She said, I'm going to build an ark. If it was good enough for Noah and it saved his children, it's good enough for my baby. And she built that ark. And the Bible says that she put that baby in the ark. And she placed him in that river. You know, as she placed him in that river, he probably began to float down. You know, I think about it. And she probably broke her heart. But she knew that God would bless her. She put the baby in there, and he began to float down the river. Now, it didn't say what she did, but it said her daughter, Miriam, that was Moses' sister. It said that she kind of walked out and she watched down the river. And she was going to look and watch and see what happened to the baby. And you know, now Pharaoh's daughter come down about that time to take a bath.
Yeah.
That's not a coincidence.
That's right.
That's not a coincidence. That's a God thing.
Amen.
Pharaoh's daughter come down to take a bath. It said she saw the ark floating and she told her maids, go get it for me. Now listen, you're talking about Pharaoh's daughter, which was probably had a hard heart toward the Hebrews, which probably seen thousands of babies thrown in the river. It probably didn't faze her. That's another thing that we run into in today's society. We see things so much that pretty soon the sting goes away. It don't hurt you as much when you hear these kind of things. So she was probably kind of used to seeing them cast these babies in the river. But you know what? It's not a coincidence either that when she picked that baby up and she opened that ark, I believe that the Bible says it began to cry. And it pierced her heart.
Yeah.
That's a God thing.
Amen.
God knows what he's doing. God's setting up a work that Moses would be okay tonight. So she opens it up and her heart's pierced. She says, I got to keep it. So here's another God thing. She says, the little girl, Miriam, says, hey, do you want me to go get a midwife, a mother to take you? Well, yeah. So the mother gets to come back. Now you tell me how God works in your life. The mother gets to come back, take her baby, and Pharaoh's daughter says, I'll pay you to take care of him. That's a God.
Yeah.
Now, people say, Ted, do you really pray over your washer and dryer? I sure did, because that's a God thing. My washer was plugged up. It wasn't unplugged. I prayed for it and because I had to go to work. My time was out. Teresa had to do laundry. I was young. I didn't know what else to do. And I began to pray for it. And these kids laugh because it's true. I was standing there praying for my washer and then unplugged and started running. And I believe that with everything in me, that God will give you what you need tonight.
Yeah.
God will control things. I believe that.
Amen.
Now, you can believe it if you want. That's just me. She picks that baby up, and that's a God thing. She pays his own mother to take care of him, but here's what happened. Now, it might have been 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. Don't know. The Bible don't say how long she took Moses back to her house and raised him before she turned him back over to Pharaoh. But I'll tell you what, she did it long enough to teach him who he was. Yeah. She did it long enough to teach him that he was a godly man. She did it long enough to teach him that we serve a God that is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We serve the Almighty God. She was able to teach him that stuff because we know later in life how Moses went and how his life went. So then later, she has to take him out. And she has to walk him down. And she has to give him to Pharaoh's daughter. What faith would it take for a woman today to give their kid away like that? To walk down. I mean, it's bad enough to where we watch them go to kindergarten and it breaks our heart. Now, I'm grandpa and it really broke my heart. But, you know, you kind of watch them go out to the bus and they're going away the first time. Everybody's got pictures of their kindergarten on the porch holding the sign. You know, Nikki, you know what I'm talking about. So you got these pictures and so it breaks our heart to let them go like that. It breaks our heart. But Moses' mom was godly. And she had the faith. She had the faith that God was going to take care of him. And we know he did. He took care of him. You know, I think about that. I think about the faith of a woman. You know, I think about what it takes to be a godly mother. And it's the most important thing that you can be as a godly mother in this life. Because I think all the kids need a good godly mother in their life. I think about my grandma. Both of my grandmas were godly grandmas. They were great. They would run down the aisle and swing their hands and shout. And, you know, I had some church-going grandmas. Well, I'll tell you what, they were something else. But, you know, I thank God for that. I had a good godly mom. I thank God for my mom. My mother-in-law, good godly woman. So I've had some good godly women in my life. And right along up to my wife, you know, it's so awesome to have a wife that loves the Lord. That's the only way you can live this life. But, you know, I started thinking about that, and I think about Matthew 9:20. It said, "Behold, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood for 12 years, came behind him, and she touched him, and she touched his garment. For she said within herself, 'If I may touch his garment, I shall be whole.'" You know, we know about the woman with the issue of blood. We've heard about it a lot of times. But, you know, I think about that tonight. Where are we at? Where are we at when we're down? When we get to the place to where we just don't know if we can do it anymore? You know, do you ever just crawl up and just get a hold of the hem of his garment and just say, "Lord, here I am. You know, I got troubles. Amen. I got stuff going on. Yeah. My life is weighing me down. There's people sick in my life. There's things going on in my life. There's things that I can't control anymore. Lord, I'm just so burdened down. What can I do?"
Yeah.
He says, just hold on.
Yes.
Just hold on. He said, "I'll never leave you forsaken."
Amen.
You know, I love him tonight. And I love the faith that when I read about this, I love the faith that Moses' mom had. I love the faith that the lady with the issue of blood had. You know, we can read about faith all through the scriptures. If you want to read about faith, go to Romans. It's loaded with faith. You know, that's where we need to be today.
Yeah.
Because we live in a country that's all messed up. I think we can all agree with that. It is messed up right now. But through faith, I think we're going to be all right.
Yeah.
You know why? Because we're saved and we know who God is in our life. And we know that we're saved and no matter. And we're in a win-win situation. It really don't matter what happens because I know one day after a while that when I leave here, I'm going to go home with the Lord and I aren't going to have any more worries. You know, that's my goal in life. That's where I want to be.
Yeah.
So as we stand across the building...